WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Some of his best practices this year were those two practices in Minnesota, in my opinion. You know, is he progressing? Is he regressing? He's still in his early 20s, about to be 23 years old. It's really difficult to say anything in terms of this is like a linear progression. It's going to be dips and dives, and there are going to be peaks and valleys, Kayla. And I think today was actually, you know, he's kind of getting back on the upswing after a couple of down days.
That was our buddy Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran's cohort, breaking down the ebbs and flows of
my co-host on the breakdown.
Oh, and your co-host on the breakdown,
starting in the first Monday after the start of the season.
I've also been told by the ladies he's the most attractive man in Boston sports media. That he's a stud.
What ladies have told you that?
A number of ladies.
Dude, have you? I think he downplays his workout. You know, regime. I'm always kind of trying to get more out of him about what he wore. It makes it sound like he barely goes to the. He has made a huge effort to get into the weight room and put some muscle on.
Nice.
He's kind of V'd up right now.
Ooh.
And yet he's very coy about what he's been doing.
Interesting.
Handsome,
interesting.
Smart, just super smart. Fit. And Andy also likes the big beers like your old pal Fitzy as well.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. He Phil Perry. But he was talking good about dude. Drake May, who has had a non-linear development. This summer, there's been some ups and downs, some good days, some bad days. Even some of the good days, if you remember, Josh McDaniels talking about on the broadcast, which, side note, I do like the in-game interviews they've been doing at Kraft Sports Production with Josh McDaniels, Elliot Wolf, some of the key guys, decision makers during the game, nice addition. But Josh McDaniels talked about everything that Minnesota threw at him during the practice week. He handled pretty well, like the wheels didn't fall off the cart, so to speak, which maybe they could have. So let's just start there. The Patriots won 20-12. Patriots are 2-0, baby. Undefeated Patriots. We feel like an undefeated football team right now. Is that how we're trending right now? Because it doesn't really feel like that to me. But Ted Johnson, I'll start with you. If I just said, like, what was your biggest takeaway from little Saturday afternoon football, which is your forte, we learned.
My biggest takeaway is that the biggest problem with this team is going to be depth. That's going to be their biggest problem. I mean, that was probably my biggest takeaway since the beginning of this. They're not going to have the horses to get it done if they have guys getting hurt in key positions. That's my biggest takeaway. It's really hard to glean too much when you consider the two teams they played in preseason didn't even start their starters on both sides of the ball. I mean, honestly, so it's I will say this. It's just I think. You know, another big takeaway in a positive sense is it's going to be more buttoned up. They did have a delay game penalty, which I found interesting. And do you guys know the length of time from which Tom Brady got a delay game penalty to his second delay a game penalty later in his career? If that makes sense.
What, 2 years, 3 years?
Multiple seasons. 5 seasons, 6 seasons, 7 seasons.
7 seasons.
7 seasons between delay of game penalties.
A delay of game. Think about that. You know what? It's just you see them all the time. Aaron Rodgers gets 20 of them a year. And Tom Brady went 7 years between delay of game penalties. So, look, that's going to be expected for a young guy trying to get a handle on this new offense. But – it's going to be more buttoned up, but I just think they're not going to have the horses they're borderline playoff potentially built type of team, but if they get too many injuries in key positions, then all bets are off.
So Fitzy, I'll give you your opportunity. We can call this the Efton Chisholm game, because I think almost universally during the game and then the reaction to the game was that the man with 6 catches for 71 yards and a touchdown was Efton Chisholm, was going to make the roster. Now, we've had a little wrinkle here where he's missed practice. He was injured in the performance. But
he won't play tomorrow night, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's on a whole list of guys that won't play tomorrow night. But you want to take a victory lap for your boy Efton Chisholm?
I just love the fact that 2 weeks in a row, Mike Vrabel continued to talk about his effort, his playing strength, and how much work the kid has put in, and that it's paying off. It's just a real feel-good story Forget about the fact that, yeah, oh, New England loves their tiny white slot receivers, and he's a perfect fit for the McDaniels offense. The, both of those things can be true. But the fact is, the kid is making good on not just being a college freak who set all the records and knocked off Cooper Kupp's records at Eastern Washington. He's delivering on the potential and showing you why the Pats dropped 259 guaranteed on him as an undrafted free agent. He may just be a fun, more than just like a fun little camp story, Andy. He may be an important cog to a nice little component of this offense that hasn't had a wide receiver not named Efton Chisholm yet stand out during the entirety of the preseason. The only offensive standout, aside from Chisholm, is Travion Henderson.
Yeah, which leads me to believe, and I said this a while, like the running back room is good. I heard it was Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson actually doing sort of a joint simultaneous press conference the other day talking about the room. And you've even added Jermichael Hasty.
Which some I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, well, and a lot of people are. I'm reading some of these.
He looks
so
good.
We should mention the preseason finale is tomorrow night in New York. Next Tuesday will be the cut down to 53-man.
I like how they do it now.
Yes.
They don't just, you know, they used to.
Done.
Yeah, they used to, you know, have three different cut down periods. And now it's just they go from 90 to 53, which is better, just one cut down day.
So you're starting to see the projections come out. The Athletic had one, the Globe had one. I've started to read them all. And Jermichael Hasty is starting to be on the roster in a lot of those projections, which is interesting.
I'd have no problem with that.
And if that's true, like, that's definitely one of the better groups on the team. Because you have guys out there that I think we all like in different layers or categories, but we've seen them all make plays.
So that means definitely not seven wide receivers is my guess. They're going to keep three tight ends. Westover's is staying. 87, he's been your lead fullback.
Let's go. He's doing a good job. It's kind of fun seeing an 87 out there as a lead blocker.
Yep, he is doing a good job. But you're right, the running backs and Jermichael Hasty in particular have impressed me.
And so we do need to talk about, we kind of led in with the audio of Phil Perry talking about Drake May. And I said to you guys in the elevator, I think yesterday, one of the things that has sort of benefited from us doing 2 days of Jimmy Fund Telethon was us not exactly following closely and talking and reacting to what was coming out of the practice fields. There were some really bad performances by Drake May.
In the last couple days.
Yeah, last couple days, including one in which Phil Perry tweeted out, in 11-on-11 work, there were 18 dropbacks for Drake May. He had him down for 7 sacks in those dropbacks. And I'm not saying that's not just Drake May. That's the combination of the offensive line and Drake May, but that's your passing game. That's what you need to do in the year 2025 in the NFL. I think we all can put to bed the idea that you're just going to run the ball, play defense, kick a field goal, and win the game.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to happen. Are you, Ted, growing concerned with this line, Drake May, sacks, turnovers situation?
I don't know how you can't be. I still think it's going to be better than last year. I really do. But there's the offensive line. Definitely is you've hit the panic button on the Red Sox season after last night's performance, and I'm close to hitting it with the Patriots with the offensive line just because it's the same problems we've been hearing. This offensive line's been an issue for years, and they haven't really done anything drastic, like the Bears that traded for two interior offensive linemen in March. They knew they had problems. They retired of their offensive line being the biggest issue for their team last year, that it stunted the growth of their young quarterback in Caleb Williams. So they went out and made aggressive trades in March, and it's benefiting them already right now. Caleb Williams had a great preseason game the other night, and we're still talking about Drake May's development being delayed mostly and partly and most probably assuredly because of the offensive line.
Well, and part of the issue isn't just the performance. Obviously, that matters. Like, you're blocking people, you protect. We still don't really know what the line's going to look like. And is that Ben Brown? Is he suddenly entering the mix here after a nice end of the season last year?
He had a nice preseason game the other day.
Right. But they've all, I feel like, had some nice performances and then some less than nice performances that leads Doug Marrone and Mike Vrabel to say, maybe give this guy a chance at this spot. And I don't know what we're going to get. Like, right now, I don't know if I would be willing to bet on a starting five come the opener against the Raiders. And you're right, Ted. It all starts from there. Like, that, as much as we want to talk about Stephon Diggs and we want to talk about Travion Henderson being this steal of a draft pick and Drake May being a stud in year two, if the five guys up front stink, the rest are all going to stink too. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to do their jobs. And I don't know right now exactly what that's going to look like. 617-779-7937. What is your biggest concern about the New England Patriots right now? And what, I'll give a more optimistic spin on that. What do you feel best about with the New England Patriots right now? There were some interesting defensive performances in that preseason game on Saturday. We'll talk about the Patriots reacting to that preseason win, even if it didn't always feel like a win on Saturday. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Our job is to constantly come up with ideas, brainstorm suggestions about players at all levels. And the acquisition of those players isn't as easy sometimes. It takes certainly two sides. Sometimes the player has say, and we have to be really intentional about moves we make, because any move we make sends a message to the rest of the football team. And I think that's something that, trust me, we go through scenarios constantly, multiple times a day, to keep everything alive. Because in the end, how can we make the football team better? How can we go get wins on Sunday? That's what we all want to do. So it's just a constant process that involves a lot of layers.
That was Ryan Cowden.
That was Craig Breslow. I mean, Ryan Cowden.
Uh-oh, do we need a Cowden bot?
Wow. Just, I mean, you know, it's, hey, it takes two to tango. Hey, man, you know, you might as well just say, well, they don't like our players, you know? That should have been next thing that came out of his mouth. Come on, man.
And in these brainstorming sessions, have we brainstormed some offensive linemen? Because that's what I'd be focusing on if we were brainstorming.
I don't need Trey Hendrickson or Terry McLaurin. They're not going to make them. They're really good players. They're not going to turn the tides of this team. But, like, you need offensive linemen. Ted, I'm with you 1,000%. Every time I look at what Ben Johnson did so aggressively this past spring, and I know the Patriots addressed it, but like Joe Tooney, proven commodity, works in your system, borderline all pro,
yep.
Got him for a song out there.
Yep.
Not only is he playing at a high level at guard, he's also running routes as a third string tight end, for God's sake.
Let me ask you guys a question. Let me ask Fitzy, Dan, Stiz, you said this one out. Don't worry about it. But if you had to guess,
that was just...
if you had to guess, if you had to guess how many offensive linemen in the last 10 years have the Patriots drafted? How many offensive linemen in the last 10 years?
Earnest guess?
If you had to guess, there's five players at that, you know, on the offensive line. And in 10 years, how many players have they drafted at the offensive line position?
I'm going with 11.
Okay. Stiz, okay. So Rooney, thank you. Daniel?
Dan?
I'll go with 14.
Yep. And Fizzy, what do you, Fitzy, what do you got?
Fizzy's fine. That's Fizzy, after 6 o'clock.
He's like
Fizzy.
A soda.
What do you got? Adult soda. Fitzy. I'm going to go with 21, Ted.
You know what? I would have guessed closer to 21. Nine.
Wow.
Nine guys.
What?
So Stiz it was closest with 11, but only nine offensive linemen in the last 10 years have the Patriots drafted.
Yeah, that surprised me. That surprised me quite a bit, because I was just thinking two per year average was sort of a general number in my head. So yeah, you're saying they haven't necessarily invested properly in the line?
Yeah. So if you're not going to draft them, then you got to go trade for them, or you got to sign them in free agency.
And then the other issue is some of the ones they've drafted, like Cole Strange with a first round pick, hasn't worked out. He should be a guy right now. The conversation with Cole Strange should be, are you willing to give him $100 million extension, right? Like, that's the conversation. Right now, the conversation is he even going to make this football team?
Do you need $100 for a bus ride out of here?
And I almost think, because it's so, to Fitzy's point earlier, there's just not a lot of good offensive linemen. So when teams get a really good guard or tackle, they're almost like quarterbacks. They almost don't let they almost don't let them leave.
Yep.
They don't get free agency. So it's hard to get a good offensive lineman in free agency. If you're not drafting for them, like the Patriots haven't, then what do you got?
Andy, here's a perfect point. Like, right now, you know, the Patriots tried to address the David Andrews retirement situation with Garrett Bradbury. Minnesota, who we obviously just did joint practice work with last week, said, hey guys, we're going to go ahead and move on from him because he's okay at best in the run game and he stinks at pass pro. They go ahead, they sign an expensive center, they upgrade their line, and this guy's come in and he's so great that he's going to probably get you his job usurped either by a rookie or the guy you picked up off the street in the middle of the season last year.
You know what jumps out at me? When I see like a Jared Wilson, I see the right tackle, the Marcus Bryant in the seventh round. When I look at Garrett Bradbury, we little fellas, small guys, not big guys. No offense to small guys, but to play the game of football, you need big, meaty, you know, offensive linemen. And they just look green and young and small and
well, certainly Cole Strange would fit that. I always thought Cole Strange looked like he lacked a little sand in his pants, so to speak. But Mike Onwenu is a big old house of a dude who maybe is too big and has maybe gotten out of shape, fat and happy. And the other thing we need to weave in here is there's been, forget the draft picks, that's one layer of it. They've had a different offensive line coach for 5 straight years. I don't even know what, like 5 or 6 straight years.
Yep.
It feels like you've had no stability, no continuity. Mm-hmm. And I think we all believe in Doug Marrone and that you've probably hit on one that you'd like to have for a while here, but it's probably going to take a little time for him to teach them the way he wants everything done and played, and also get guys that are his guys that fit his system. Cause right now he's dealing with a lot of holdovers, and maybe that's why he's inclined to play a bunch of rookies. Maybe he wants guys that are more of a clean slate, and I can kind of mold these guys from the ground up day one.
Well, that might be true. I mean, you can see across the board. I almost feel like the philosophy of this new coaching staff is clean slate. They if you were here at all in the last 3 years, that you're gone now.
It's almost a detriment to your ability to make the roster. Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Danny in Southie. What's up, Danny? Danny going once, going twice.
Hey, what's up? Sorry, I was muted.
You were muted?
What's up, guys? How you
what's
doing?
Up? What's up, bud?
I don't think the Pats aren't gonna get anywhere in the playoffs this year. I just don't think we're a team for the future.
All right, thanks for the call, Danny.
Well, he had the schedule on the is what he wanted to talk about, and he did not talk about it. So
yeah, I don't think
he
was quite ready.
I'm curious what he thought about the schedule.
The schedule is fortuitous. Not,
this
easy.
This team, no way, no how. Is this a team that would make noise in the playoffs? Doesn't mean they can't make the playoffs.
Correct.
So can they be one of the seventh best teams in the AFC? I think that is not the craziest thing to ask for in this team.
Basically, it feels more and more like you're trying to steal the 2021 season where Josh McDaniels managed a young quarterback, because we're hearing more and more about what happened in Mac Jones' ear is happening in Drake May's ear. If I can talk till 15 seconds on the play clock, I will be talking until 15 seconds on the play clock, telling you what to do, how to do it, what body language to have when you're doing it. And that's what that team was. They were proven a true pretender when they got absolutely wiped by the Bills, right? But they made the playoffs.
Yep.
Like, that's an accomplishment, and I think that's the best case.
They backed in, though.
But it doesn't matter. That's if you back in, you're in.
But let me ask you this. When they went to their bye week, right, and they, I don't know, with a little bit further, than they were just past the halfway mark, did you think they were one of the best teams in the NFL?
That team?
Yeah.
No.
In the AFC?
I did.
No.
I took the cheese, Ted.
I thought they looked pretty good in the AFC. Yeah,
I was not a believer. And this is a conversation I had with Dan. The computers love that team. You started getting projections like they could be a one seed. They could go to the Super Bowl. I wasn't a believer in that team.
I don't say that. I just thought I thought they were one of the better teams in the AFC. I'll tell you that. And then they obviously proved that they weren't. What do you think? So what is there's some theories on why Mac Jones fell apart. What do you think is maybe why Mac Jones got off to a hot start and then fizzled?
For his career, for that
with that season, his rookie season.
My whole thing was he was just wound too tight. I think the pressure got.
Well, that there's something to that, but some people would say it was because there was just Josh McDaniels put too much on his plate. Like it just got more and more intense, and so I don't know. I mean, we're going to look at Drake May's progression through the prism of Josh McDaniels and how he coaches, and so those are going to be things that you look like. Are you putting too much? So I'm just thinking, what I want my coaches in my ear, literally, talking to me the whole time, right up until the snap of the ball. No, I wouldn't. That would annoy the hell out of me.
Do you think before we get to a break here, do you think that could be a legitimate issue right now with Drake? Forget the system and everything that's in it. Maybe just adjusting to that, having somebody talking into his head as he's looking at the defense.
Making the game, it used to be checkers, and now it's chess, and it used to be easier for him, and now Josh is making him look at the game in a way that he's an advanced supercomputer, Josh is, because he's seen everything. Now he's got to come back and teach the basics, and I wonder how good he is at that.
617-779-7937. What is your confidence level in Drake May? We've seen two preseason games. We've seen a bunch of joint practice action. We've seen stretches with no picks and no sacks and good decisions. And then we've seen stretches going back to the spring with a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad decisions, fumbles, not looking like he's making that progression for the year two jump. How do you feel about Drake May? 617-779-7937. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.